Jack Fitzpatrick, pro at watching paint dry.
Yep.
Jack Fitzpatrick, cover to cover, weekend reading. The Budget and Economic Outlook 2023 to 2033.
Oh boy.
That'll be released at 2 p.m. this afternoon by the Congressional Budget Office. I think it clocks in at 742
sure.
pages.
Yeah, a little beach read.
And Jack's all over it, to say the least. Jack, I hate to say it as a nerd, but at least I'd read the executive summary from years ago. And I always got so much information from the CBO. There are enthusiasts in the newly minted House that maybe they'll look at CBO, maybe they won't, but they want to, quote unquote, cut spending. What's the difference to politicians, and particularly a more strident Republican, of level spending versus cutting spending?
Well, they are very enthusiastic about cutting spending. In fact, when I talk to the most conservative Republicans involved in spending bills, they feel very confident that Republican leadership is right there with them. They kind of exercised their demons and worked things out during the speaker drama when Kevin McCarthy was elected speaker. And it does seem to be a fairly unified House Republican conference on trying to cut spending. The question is where and how possible it is to get to that sort of political slogan of saying we're going to balance the budget. They're going to work on a budget framework this spring, late winter into the spring. This CBO report will essentially tell them, well, here's the baseline, here's the expectation, here's what you would have to do and how much you would have to cut in order to balance the budget or reduce the deficit to any given level. But when they're talking about agency budgets, even the somewhat more moderate members are saying, yeah, agency budgets, the discretionary side, not entitlements, but the functioning of federal agencies,
right,
are a lot of them are going to be up for cuts.
You mentioned the demons, and some would go back to Proverbs, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And I'm not going to say there's a really religiosity to it, but there's a conservative theme here back centuries that debt is, as you say, Jack, a demon perceived as evil. Is that evident?
You know, when I really push some of those enthusiastic conservatives on their views on the debt, what a healthy level of the deficit should be, what I've learned from people, for example, like Mike Braun in the Senate, who's sort of Rand Paul adjacent, is that a lot of the talk about balancing the budget is more about establishing rules in Congress. When they talk about a balanced budget amendment, really that's because Congress doesn't have hard and fast rules guiding the big picture fiscal scenarios, what the debt as a percent of GDP should be. It's not necessarily that they're absolutely committed to saying if we have $1 trillion or so baseline deficit, we need to cut $1 trillion. It's that this is a body that does not impose concrete rules on itself, and that lends itself to a somewhat simple political slogan of we need a balanced budget amendment or something along those lines. So really, there may be some flexibility in how terrible debt is. But given that Congress is pretty loose with how it approaches those things, it pushes the conservatives toward more of a hardline stance because they feel like they're trying to create constrictions in a body that has never embraced rules for itself.
Hey, Jack, give us a sense of how in the House of Representatives, how this House is going to move forward in terms of leadership. I mean, we call them enthusiastic conservatives versus perhaps more moderate Republicans. Who's really driving the bus here, do you think, over the next couple of years?
I do think McCarthy kind of rallied the troops and made the promises he needs to make that involved promises that take some power away from him, though. So, you know, when McCarthy became speaker, he absolutely became the point person for what direction the House Republican Conference is going to go in, and got support from people with very different views. But he agreed to allow a ton of amendment votes on the floor, including for must-pass bills, including these bills to fund the government. He put you know, Freedom Caucus members on the committee that writes those spending bills. So he's basically in charge, but he's a little less in charge than you might normally expect for a speaker.
And Jack, just given, you know, where we have in the Senate, the Democrats' position in the Senate, we have a Democrat in the White House. Is this truly kind of a government where almost nothing can get done of significance?
They have to get something done. They have must pass measures. It's not going to be a great time for policy making. But when it comes to a debt ceiling vote a little later this year, and we'll get an updated deadline from the CBO report, that has to happen. There has to be a conversation about whether they tie spending cuts to that. They have to fund the government. They'll work on a farm bill, agricultural policies, and nutrition aid. It'll be pretty contentious. But there are a few things that they absolutely have to do that are very important. So it's not going to be 2 years of absolutely nothing. But on the big picture, policy-making front outside of those, it's going to be really tough to get anything done.
Jack, thank you so much. Jack Fitzpatrick there. Nice update on the fiscal side of the calendar. He's with Bloomberg Government, of course.